What about it, punk? Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You're about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, guys. Finally, win in the win column, a check mark in the win column. So we're a little bit happier today. Maybe not as happy as we could have been, but to me, I talked to an Arkansas guy, an Arkansas alumni last week, and he said, you know, they're going to, Louisiana Monroe's going to be down. They gave it all at Arkansas. And I didn't see that Saturday. I saw a really good team that we played. And, it looks like to me they could compete with just about anybody. I don't think it's just Arkansas and Auburn's bad teams or both got bad teams this year. So let's see what the experts say. What do you say, Stan?
Well, no, I agree, Keith. I mean, I think this La Monroe team would compete and beat several teams in the SEC. Of course, as a lot of people probably saw last night, Western Kentucky, who's a Sun Belt team, beat Kentucky at Lexington. So, no, your buddy, I think, would probably miss the point. I think with teams like Louisiana Monroe, the win over Arkansas got them believing that, hey, they could play. Certainly looking at what Auburn had done the first 2 weeks, there was no reason to believe in their minds that they couldn't come in there and win. And, they'd beaten, I guess people forget that, you know, Coach Saban's first year, they beat the Crimson Tide. So, their quarterback, I heard him compared a lot to the kid that was at Boise last year. He really does look good. And offensively, I mean, they have a very, very explosive offense. So, I thought it was a big win. Now, how we ended up having to win it, I think, is maybe a little bit troubling. I mean, I think we had the game well in hand and then lost a little bit of focus, lost a little bit of our edge after Mike Blakely's fumble. Vic, what do you think?
Well, of course, yeah, obviously I'm happy that we're 1-2 instead of 0-3. And obviously, you know, that was one of those, I was scared to death that coach, even though I knew he had gone to overtime at Arkansas, and I figured he would since he had all the momentum, but I was scared to death that he was going to go for two and win that game, you know, right there after they made that last touchdown. I just had a feeling that he might. And I wasn't sure we could stop them. You know, they had us, they were doing some things to us, and their quarterback was playing well. And I was just afraid of what might happen if they did go for two there. But happy to have the win. But now I'm just going to be honest with you, Stan and Keith. You know, obviously, we're just not a very good football team right now. And we can talk about Louisiana Monroe beat Arkansas, Louisiana Monroe. Louisiana Monroe don't have one player on their team that LSU offered a scholarship to. You know, and right now the SEC is by far the premier conference in all of college football. And, you know, they don't have a single kid probably that LSU or anybody else in the SEC probably offered a scholarship to. And the reality is, you know, yeah, those kids look good and everybody, you know, parity in college football and all that. But, you know, Auburn shouldn't be having to go to overtime to beat Louisiana Monroe. We certainly know that. And after the recruiting classes that we've had, we don't anticipate that having to be the case. But that's where we're at right now. And there are several things that we're obviously going to talk about tonight as to why some of these things are happening. But anyway, I'm happy to have the win, but, you know, obviously not happy with really how we're playing.
Well, and I agree with most of that. I mean, of course, I'm not sure how many – as I mentioned earlier about the Western Kentucky's, I'm not sure how many of their guys got offered even by Kentucky, or they would have gone to Kentucky. So, I mean, sometimes some of that's, you know, I mean, not exactly. I mean, LSU, of course, is maybe one of the top two teams in the country.
Right.
After seeing USC go down to to Stanford, I mean, you wonder how many guys would Lane Kiffin have wanted that, you know, from the, on the Stanford team that would have, you know, would have made, you know, he wouldn't have got to come to USC. But, I don't know. There is a lot of parity out here. Now, the one thing I think Louisiana Monroe had, I mean, their quarterback, I like that kid. I mean,
what was he? And a redshirt freshman?
What now?
Was he a redshirt freshman?
No. I think he's got a few years under him. I have to go back and check. I think he's been there a little bit longer than that. Maybe not. But he was. Of course, the guys on television were, you know, bragging on his act. I mean, his accuracy. And his decision making was pretty darn good. But you're right. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be struggling with a lot of Monroe. I agree. I think again some of the things in yesterday's game that we did, like again as I alluded to, that fumble by Mike Blakely, and we're about to go up 35-14. I'm not so sure at that point La Monroe has enough fight in him and talent to come back.
I think that as an Auburn fan who has really followed it all my life and kept up with it, and I keep up with recruiting, and you know, and I know a lot of Auburn fans are very frustrated right now with where we're at and what's happening, and I am too. Now, I do have a tendency to always want to look at the big picture, and I see, you know, that Coach Chizik's doing a good job with recruiting, and I still like the staff. I think we've done some good things there. But, you know, you just think after, you know, three highly rated recruiting classes that our talent level is going to be at a point where, you know, a team like Louisiana Monroe was just not going to be able to stay on the field with us. You know, so then you start looking at, well, what does that mean? You know, are the coaches not getting out of the players what they need to get out of them? But I think the reality is, you know, when you have a situation where you got a young quarterback, you're having to start some young guys on the offensive line and some of those issues. That you back, Stan?
Yeah, I'm back. Did I drop? I guess I did.
Yeah, you just cut off, man, right in midstream. But I tried to pick. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, good to have you back.
I appreciate it. I knew some of my stuff was a little stronger. I didn't know Keith could just cut me out of it.
Well,
that's why you got the edit button for later.
We had to cut you loose, man. But I was just talking, Stan, a little bit about, kind of the state of the program and the frustration that a lot of Auburn fans feel, you know, with us not being able to look better than we've looked, you know, but I thought, a guy like you like to quote often, and Philip Marshall, you know, I was reading some of his stuff and he had a good point in that, you know, a couple of years ago, Texas and Mack Brown decided to go a different direction than they were, and they turned around and go 5-7 one year, and I think maybe like 7-5 the next year, and of course this year, you know, they look like they're going to be a contender. I mean, they look good, and they recruited at a high level, and so, you know, with us making the transition to two new coordinators in the same year, most of the time you do have these growing pains. It's just people are not patient with it anymore. You know, everybody wants to win now and expect to win now. And when the product on the field doesn't look too good, somebody's going to get blamed for it. And right now, you know, I think, you know, Coach Chizik is taking the brunt of that, which is probably the way it should be. But, I don't know that that's deserved, but that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot of times what fans expect. And again, I hear a lot of, you know, there's always this, let's fire everybody, let's run it, you know, and people, you know, they start talking about Jay Jacobs and who's running the program. And it just gets, I don't know, it makes Oliver Stone's conspiracy movies look normal, some of the stuff that people come up with. But, I get sick of a certain segment of Auburn people just whining and griping and just complaining about everything. Do a little research. Look at how much time it takes, you know, like you said. I mean, if Texas, obviously one of the top four or five, you know, premier programs in the country, recruits lights out all the time. And they, like you say, they went 5-7 and 8-5. And hopefully they're, you know, for them, they're back. But, Coach Chizik has decided he wanted to go to a more of a pro-style game on both sides of the ball. And, Vic, I don't think we can do anything about the fact that probably Clint Mosley's shoulder is, you know, a gimpy at best, and then a true freshman. So, you know, yeah, maybe Kyle's not exactly ready to you know, face the LSUs of the world. I mean, Mississippi State or Clemson of the world. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of where we are.
Going to that, Stan, let's go back to the game a little bit. You know, speaking of Kyle Frazier, I thought he had some pretty good moments in Saturday's game. You know, I thought that maybe he made some strides, and I'm obviously the interception that he threw was, you know, a bad decision. Of course, I was reading today where, you know, he said his vision was blocked by Greg Robinson and he just didn't see the guy, you know, and of course that's something that hopefully he'll learn from and realize that if he don't see the field, he can't just make that throw. But, you know, it's one of those things where you see all the talent that he has. I think he's still struggling a little bit with, you know, a little indecisiveness as far as knowing when to release the ball and where to go with the ball. But, boy, does he have the talent, you know, and it allows us to do some things with him. You know, just like the throwback pass, you know, he showed some good speed on that and nice move down the sideline to get that to the end zone. I mean, the guy's got all the talent in the world, and just hopefully he can put it together. But, boy, he's got his work cut out for him Saturday, don't he?
He does. And you're exactly right, Vic. I mean, I don't think anybody, any neutral observer of the kid, you can see why Coach Malzahn was so high and wanted, you know, as you recall, Vic, I know that, you know, you're the being recruiting guy, you know, Jeff Driscoll and Kyle Frazier were kind of our targets that year. And Coach Malzahn kind of went, you know, stronger with, I guess after Kyle kind of committed, that was pretty much it. And, he makes some tremendous, I mean, it's nothing about his arm strength and all that kind of stuff, and even his athleticism. I mean, that play that he scrambled out around and, you know, throw the Hail Mary to Sammy Coates, you know, there's a lot of guys we've had in the past would probably had gone just getting bumped, would have gotten off balance and gone down there.
Right.
And so, you know, and I guess it was you, Vic, that sent me an email that talked about a certain quarterback that had started out his first seven games, just horrible numbers. Fans wanting to throw the guy, take him off a scholarship, and I think this guy ended up being the first-round draft choice from the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. And that was his sophomore year, true sophomore year, I think, that he was playing at Georgia, that he was struggling so badly. So, you know, there's a lot of hope for him. And you know, even you're talking about Jeff Driscoll, he looked pretty good Saturday night. But, you know, he's had his moments where he looked lost out there too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, all these guys go through it. You can go back to Auburn, you know, with Jason Campbell. You know, Jason, you know, highly recruited guy and very talented guy, but boy, did he go through some growing pains, you know. I mean, they all have to kind of go through that, you know. You hope that Kyle don't lose his confidence to the point where he can't get it back and, you know, realize that he has all this ability and can put it together. And you know, I think the coaches are trying to give him a decent plan. You know, I thought Saturday we got a little bit conservative when we were up 28-14. Of course, we did throw the interception up 28-14, but at the same time, I think after that interception, I think they got real nervous and Kyle got real nervous about, you know, throwing the ball down the field, you know, and so they really kind of loaded up to stop our run and made it a little bit harder for us to move the ball. And obviously that had an impact on the game. And, you know, of course, you know, I'm still, you know, we were holding that before the season. Boy, we were really optimistic that we were going to have that dominating Auburn defense that we've had in the past, and it's just not there yet, is it, Stan?
Well, it's the defensive tackles is where, Vic, I'm still – because I knew what the linebackers were. I knew they had experience, but, again, I mean, how many tackles can Darren Bates, you know, make? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, and, I mean, he's undersized. Jake Collins maybe a step slow, but, again, some – a buddy of mine was talking about Jake Holland. I said, look, I still see guy Lyman getting all over him and him having a fight, you know, and he's not, you know, two steps faster than anybody. But I think if we can, we've got to get improvement from, you know, Jeff Whitaker and Ken Carter, Gabe Wright and Blackston. I mean, I'm talking about consistent. I mean, it looks to be a ton of talent with those guys. I mean, Lemonnier and Ford, to me, are playing as good as just about. I mean, they still kind of miss a time, but I mean they're putting, and I mean they're holding. And I've never been a guy to say anything about officiating. I really haven't. But I know good and well I saw Lemonnier held at least a few times that I thought, you know, you could reach in there, at least reach for that yellow flag on that play kind of thing. And,
right.
But the defensive tackles, I mean, and I'll tell you this, Vic, Saturday night against LSU, to have any kind of chance maybe to keep it respectable, much less win, we've got – the defensive tackles have got to hold their ground and penetrate. If they get blown off the ball, I mean it's gonna be a long night.
Well, we've seen it over and over again with our undersized linebackers. I mean we can't keep teams from getting, you know, 6 and 7 yards a pop. You know, just running the football at us if we don't get better play out of that defensive line, and it's just going to be one of those things where. You know, LSU is talented everywhere on the field, and Mettenberg looks like he, you know, definitely got the arm to do it and can do it. But, you know, obviously we're going to have to take some chances probably to try to stop the run game. Obviously, you know, when you play a team like LSU or Alabama, whoever it is, you got to commit to stopping the run or they'll just pound you all day, you know. So, you know, you're going to have to make Mettenberger beat you. You know, I mean, I think that's just the reality of it. And if he does, he does. But you can't just let them. You can't just let them line up and run the ball.
It can't be second and four and second and three and even second and five all night long.
You're going to have to take some chances on some run blitzes and things like that to force some second and third and longs and take your chances on Mettenberger, you know, being on the road in the SEC in a hostile environment.
For the first time ever.
First time ever, and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, he may come in and light it up, but at the same time, you know, he may throw a few picks and some things like that and some – make some bad decisions. And certainly we got the defensive ends that can get in there and create some problems for him and get in his face or get some sacks, maybe force some fumbles and things like that. Those are kind of the kind of plays obviously we'll need, you know, Saturday to have a chance to stay in the game.
Well, that's absolutely right.
What's the line, Stan? I think I saw it where it opened up minus 23 LSU.
I haven't even seen that.
Big – Can you believe that?
I don't know that we've ever been.
That's humongous.
I mean, that is at Jordan-Hare Stadium at night.
Jordan-Hare Stadium.
That may be a record. I would hit. I mean, North Texas knocked him out of the game. I'd love to see D Ford and Lemonnier get a few shots on him. Again, this is going to be something different for him, playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium at 6 o'clock at night. First time he's ever been on the road in a loud, and it'll be loud. Here's the thing, Vic. If we can do anything to stay, you know, like a nothing-to-nothing after the first quarter kind of thing, you know, they don't jump off, you know, 21-0 kind of thing. If we can stay in the game at any length at all, that crowd will be – deafening. I mean, people are just dying. I mean, because we're going to get no respect. I mean, 23.
I don't disagree with you, Stan, but I'm telling you, we're going to have to do something offensively. I mean, if we're going three and out and punt to them and then holding them, you know, last year, to be honest with you, even at LSU, they were a big favorite last year, too, and we kind of stayed with them for a while.
Till that late touchdown for the first half.
Right. They hit a couple big pass plays and got up on us at halftime. And you know, when your offense doesn't look like they have the capability of scoring any points, and, boy, that's demoralizing for the whole team and the fans and everybody. And so, you know, I think it's going to be key. I don't know about necessarily scoring points, but we need to, like, show some signs of life on offense. And I don't know.
What do you propose? What do you think we can do? I mean, because I've thought about it, and you know, with their DBs and the way they play defense, Kyle. I mean, I'm afraid some pick sixes. That's where you could. I mean, what do you think you do?
Well, you know,
I mean, I got too much Pat Dane.
You're gonna need to make some breaks. I know, you know. I'll be honest with you. You know, maybe our defense scores an early touchdown or something like that. I mean, I just think we need to get up on them. You know, if we could get to halftime 0-0 and you're down to a half a football, you know, obviously then everybody would stay in it pretty good. But, you know, it's I think we're going to have to show some life on offense. And, to be honest with you, that's where I'm a real nervous. You know, I'm not sure what the plan will be to be able to generate some offense. Certainly we have some playmakers that could make plays. You know, I think Quan Bray is going to really, make a play here for long. Now, obviously against LSU, that's going to be a little bit tougher. But, you know, he looks good to me. Emory Blake looks really good to me. And Kyle's got the arm to get him the ball, you know, if we can protect him. And, you know, but LSU will have to try to, you know, stop our run game. You know, our run game looks pretty good. You know, I think it was 255 yards rushing Saturday, you know. So, you know, they're going to have to commit to stop our run game too. So if we could get some pass protection and maybe hit a big pass play or something, you know, that would be huge, you know, as far as, you know, getting off to a good start, you know. But, you know, just the nervous thing is, you know, if you're putting the ball in Kyle's hands, you know, can he make the right decisions? Can he get rid of the ball and not throw the picks and those kinds of things? But, you know, in order for us to beat them, though, he's going to have to play well. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, I'd love to think that he could. And like I say, I like that kid a whole lot. And, you know, with the athletic ability that he has, I just think with Scott Loeffler and his reputation, I think you got to keep playing Kyle Frazier. And if at some point he just absolutely mentally can't ever get it, but there's just been too many guys that played a whole season and plus, and then really started, you know, like Jason Campbell maybe being one of them. But as far as Saturday, Vic, I don't know. I mean, LSU, think about them. They have just made a living off of people's mistakes. But I'm with you. I just don't know. I hope Scott Loeffler's got a plan, something different totally than he's shown all year. Because I guess that LSU defense is just going to be it's going
to
be tough.
Well, I thought Coach Loeffler called, you know, like the throwback pass to Kyle. That's the kind of play, you know, that maybe you save for the LSU game if you could save it, you know. But obviously we're just trying to get a win, and that was a big play in the game. But, you know,
well, maybe you can do something. Maybe you can do something off of that play now that LSU's seen it. Maybe you can throw to Quan Bray, and maybe instead of a throwback to Frazier, he actually throws it downfield to Lutzenkirk and come or something.
Right.
Something off of that they're going to know they're going to stop this one thing, and maybe you do something else tricky or run some other trick plays off that. But as you know, Vic, I mean, to beat an LSU, I mean, it's 60 minutes. I mean, we're going to have to line up, and the Greg Robinsons – and Chad Slade and Avery Young and Aristus Mukes and Sullen or Westerman, I mean, they're going to have to just man up, and we're going to have to move the chains. And I'm just hoping that it's got to be something under 20, that you could win a 20-17 or 17.
Right.
You know, maybe LSU. I don't know how good LSU's offense is based on Idaho and based on North Texas.
Exactly.
I know Washington is okay, but, you know, from what I hear, they're not necessarily, you know, an offensive juggernaut either. So, you know, I'm just hoping that
our players will be fired up and they'll come in ready to play. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And our fans will have us jacked up. You know, it'll be a great atmosphere, and it'll stay a great atmosphere as long as we can stay in the game, you know, especially if we can do a little bit on offense to – you know, give our fans reason to hope. You know, if Kyle Frazier could make a couple plays and give us the thought that, you know, hey, this really could happen, I mean, that place will be crazy, you know, because, you know, and be honest with you, this has been a role where at times Auburn has risen up and shocked the world a little bit.
Sure,
you know, we've got a lot of experience in the past in our history of coming into a game like this and like really, really getting it done, you know. So, you know, that gives me some encouragement, you know, to know that, you know, night game at Jordan-Hare is a special time, and you know, our folks will be ready, and you know, we have good enough players to do it if they can put it all together and play well. And I'll be honest with you, we're probably going to need some breaks from LSU. You know, we're going to need them to make some mistakes probably for us to beat them, but, you know, that's football. Everybody makes mistakes all the time. You know, we've got talented players.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, and I'm not saying any of these things in and of themselves are going to make just this huge, massive difference, but I'm saying, do you think that having played at home Idaho, North Texas, and even Washington, all at Tiger Stadium, is there any advantage at all that Auburn has played at least a Clemson, Mississippi State, and even this La Monroe team that did beat Arkansas? I mean, we've played a tougher schedule, and we've played two of those games, well, one on the pure road, one at a neutral site. Do we get any advantage from maybe they've not really taken a shot from any guys as tough as some of the guys we've got?
Well, I think that's, if you're trying to look for positives, you know, as far as reasons why we might have a chance, that's certainly one of them, you know. I mean, our guys are battle-tested at least, you know, and some of the young guys that got thrown into the fire early, you know, they've been out there against, you know, maybe not quite as talented as LSU guys are, but certainly close to it, you know. I mean, it's big-time college football when you're lining up against Clemson and Mississippi State, you know, and even an improved Louisiana Monroe team. And so, you know, we do definitely have that going for us, you know. But, you know, again, I don't think it's going to translate well if we don't get off to a good start. And obviously, you know, the negative to that, Stan, would be, certainly LSU has seen what other teams have done to us that has worked, and we'll be able to, you know, also, you know, look at that. And you know, but, you know, it could even bode well for us as far as the fact that we haven't really played well. The LSU comes in a little overconfident, you know. And
sure. I mean, they're going to see 23-point favorite. And right. I mean, they're going to think we're LSU and we got one other team in this conference that we worry about, and everybody else just, you know, we roll them up. And
exactly.
I may be wrong, but I'm telling you, Jeff Whitaker, Ken Carter, Gabe Wright, and Angelo Baxton hold a lot of it, because I think LSU will line up and physically try to dominate us up front. Because, I mean, we, you know, look what Clemson did. Clemson ran for what, 300 plus?
Yeah.
And I think they're going to say and that's where, if Whitaker can play up and Carter and Gabe Wright, and I mean, you know, Gabe Wright's as highly recruited a defensive tackle, I mean, as far as, you know, the stars and all that, you know, just about we've had.
Right.
I mean, somebody's going to say, you know, I've gone up against the Clemson, I've gone up against a big Mississippi State line, maybe not, certainly not talented as LSU's, and I've gone up against at least a good La Monroe offense. You know, I've taken some licks. You know, maybe it's time for somebody to have a game up front. Because if we don't, again, to me, that's where it's going. It begins and ends with me.
Right.
I agree.
If, like I said, if they're able to line up and just, you know, hand it off right up the middle and gash us for, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, 15 yards. You know, we're not going to have a very good opportunity to win the game, you know, unless they turn it over a ton of times and things like that. But, you know, the reality is, you know, if we can't get some stops and force some three and outs and get our defense off the field, you know, then it's going to be a long day. I mean, that's just the reality of it is. And, it's hard to find that silver lining, or it's hard to find that positive spin to put on this one after having watched us play 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I never go into a game thinking we can't win the game, and I'm not going into this one thinking we can't win the game. Now, if you pin me down and make me pick it, I'm probably not picking us. But at the same time, I know that we got a shot, you know, and that's the great thing about sports, and that's the great thing about being an Auburn fan, is that our guys will fight. They'll fight hard. The coaches are going to coach hard. I tell you one thing I like, Stan. I love seeing Van Gorder get in people's face and show some intensity on that sideline.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's a little different than what we've had.
You know, you always hear about players, and our players will be, you know, I mean, they'll be jacked up as high as you can get. But don't think that these coaches are so old or so mature or so coached, I mean, that they won't also have that heart pumping and that. And I you can tell that BVG, as he's called, well, I mean, that guy will be working probably 24 hours a day from now to Saturday. He, you know, with the whole world watching, he wants to show why he came to Auburn and why Auburn has invested in him like they have. And Coach Martinez, all of them. I know Coach Grimes. And you know, just a quick note, Vic, I have really been pleased with those. You know, you're talking about the youth, that those freshmen, that offensive line, to me, has played winning football. If we'd have had some guys open, if we'd have made a few plays, I mean, we could be 3-0. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but, I agree with you there. That's been a bright spot. Now, you know, that was obviously, you know, we talked about it a lot before the season, a huge area of concern. And to be honest with you, those guys have performed better than my expectations, you know. And you know, if you want to talk about some guys I thought that played well this past Saturday, you know, I think Demetrius McNeil, once he got his spot back, you know, he's played well. You know, he's showing some.
Yeah, he's I mean, that guy makes some tackles. He took what he did on that kickoff team a couple of years ago. And, you know, of course, you know, Vic, he had 18 tackles. We didn't talk about that against, you know, Mississippi State. And he was flying around. Yeah, if we can get to, and I still think, you know, it looks to me like, you know, Jermaine Whitehead is playing a little bit better. You know, I mean, it's taking him a little, even though he'd done it in preseason practice. You know, in the game, I think he may have started out a little bit, you know, unsure. He never played safety. If we can just get, you know, Jonathan Mincy makes a play here and there. I know. Now I didn't hear. He ended up the game, didn't he? I mean, I saw he got a little gimped up there one time, but.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
And Chris, I still think we got a chance if – now, none of them like you, and you've taught me this much of a lesson, I'll give you this. I mean, no, I think LSU, even though I think 23 is a little bit – maybe a little bit out there, may not think that, you know, come, 10 or 11 o'clock Saturday night. But I think LSU obviously has played well enough. They've got enough pieces of the puzzle. If they play their best football, we probably don't win. I am going to at least hope that the fact that LSU's not played away from home, and I mean, I don't know what value you get out of playing the Idahos of the world. I mean, at this point, I'm at least going into this game, I'm glad we played a Clemson and a Mississippi State, two pretty physical and, you know, decently talented teams. I just don't think that we'll see any speed. LSU's offensive line may be more physical, but I don't know that we, between Taj Boyd and then the way the La Monroe kid, that quarterback at least plays, I don't know that Mettenberger, I'm not expecting him to have any greater numbers.
No, I agree. And I think you hit it right on the head right at the beginning, to be honest with you. What our defensive line does against their offensive front, I think, is the whole key. You know, because if they push us back, if they reestablish that line of scrimmage down the field, we're not winning. You know, I just think those backs from LSU are so talented. They're so big and physical. If you let them get up ahead of steam, it's going to be 5 yards. You know, it's going to be 5 yards. If you're not making them do a little dancing behind the line of scrimmage to get before they can get going good, I mean, you're not going to have a chance to stop those guys.
Well, you're right.
Nope.
I mean, that's exactly it. If they get a push, and they're a yard and a half, 2.5 yards pushing guys off the line before, and in the back is, 2 or 3 yards into the hole before he even gets touched.
Yeah.
And as big as that Ware kid is, and the other guys, that'll be tough. And then of course play action.
Right.
I mean, Mettenberger will just, you know. So, it's on that front. And we said before the season, Vic, we at least said we thought that was our strength. And it really should be. I mean, we're 2 and 3 deep all the way across that line.
Right.
I mean, I even liked – I saw Ladarius Owens in there. It looked like, you know, in that little hybrid thing we were running where he was kind of – almost in the middle linebacking position, I want standing up.
Right.
So, again, I'm going to have faith, at least until, you know, I lose it this Saturday night, that Coach Van Gorder is going to do something different. He's going to also see every play that LSU's run this. You know, he's going to see that play where the next North Texas guy came off the corner and just lit Mettenberger up. And and I'm just going to hope with that crowd that we do at least, you know, let's make a game out of it at least. I mean, you know, this 23 points and what they did to us last year, you know, I just want to think that maybe LSU wants to go in there and flex muscle and just man-to-man, and let's see what we can do if it's just manned up. It would be nice to kind of play somebody that just wants to whip you.
That's right.
Physically, you know.
And we'll see if we've recruited well enough and coached well enough that we can stand up to that kind of a power-type team. And it'll be interesting to see, to be honest with you. And obviously, you know, looking at what Alabama did to Arkansas and
wow.
Georgia's, you know, pretty physical team as well. I mean, if we don't start standing up and being able to handle the physicality of what these other teams are doing, you know, it's going to be a long year. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Well,
you know,
right.
It's still a scary proposition as far as how this thing could go, you know, and, you know, it's just, you know, we need to, whether we win or not Saturday, we need to have a better showing as far as, you know, that aspect of the game and showing that we are going to be a physical football team that can, you know, that can match up with folks and you know, hang in there with them, you know. So that's going to be interesting to watch Saturday night.
Well, and this is the opportunity we have, Vic. If somehow, and I'm not even going to say upset them, but like you say, if we play them and at the end of the night it's like a Clemson type game where you're within a score, and you could have won, or heaven forbid, you know, if we upset them. I mean, if you can play with LSU after what we've gone through these first three games and ups and downs and play with LSU, then at least the kids will know that they can play with anybody else on the schedule, whether they're going to lose several of those, you know. But if you go in there and just get obliterated, it's going to be tough. I mean, it really is going to be tough to go even on the road and playing even Ole Miss and Vandy. But you know, the one thing we didn't ever talk about that I heard later was, you know, that Mississippi State had picked up our – because that's the Mississippi State's the one game, obviously, that I think where we're the most discouraged. I mean, we get three
sure.
points offensively from the offense after the Clemson – I mean, the Clemson game was there to have been won, and it was that close.
Right.
State, you know, 28-10, but then, again, when I read that they knew every play, you know – at least that's what I heard, and one of their coaches commented on it, one of their players apparently commented on it. I mean, at least that makes me understand why that maybe that one was that lopsided. I hope that had something to do with it. But,
right.
You know, I know we've worked, if that is a problem, we've worked that out. And, it's a huge opportunity for us Saturday night. I mean, there's almost a sense there's nothing to lose. I mean, we go out there and upset them. I mean, you're talking about it'll be as big, if not bigger, than what Stanford did to USC Saturday night.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And
so,
you know, and then that you know creates all new kinds of excitement for the season goes, because then, other than winning the national championship, just about every other goal you might would have had or every other possibility is still out there. You know, as far as you know, making it to the SEC championship game, winning the conference. You know, if you knock off LSU, then you know, hey, you know, we can, you know, that's. You know, that shows
you're
making a
lot
of progress.
You're back in basically probably controlling your destiny on winning the SEC West. And,
right.
But more importantly, and that's, I think, why I want it so bad, it would really stop a lot of this negativity. I mean, if all of a sudden, after all the things these people have been saying, you know, Coach Chizik's over his head and these guys and all
right.
this kind of stuff, and if you were to be able to play with a team that's considered them and Alabama maybe, you know, the two best teams in the country again, all of a sudden people would have to check some of that at the door about
exactly.
What this guy is capable of doing, what in which direction the program's and all this kind of malarkey. And I think that's why I want it so bad, is just to show, you know, how about a little bit of patience, Auburn family? How about acting like a family?
Exactly.
But,
and another good point on that same note is, you know, obviously this will be a big recruiting weekend for us with a lot of our big-time prospects on campus, you know. So not only would an upset of LSU do wonders to let those guys know that, you know, we're still headed in the right direction, that may help go ahead and solidify this great class that we have and be able to add those final few pieces to it, you know, certainly to make it one of the top three or four classes in the nation, you know. So, you know, just a lot riding on a good showing Saturday night.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I part of me, you know, can't wait to just see, you know, really what we are made out of. And it, you know, everybody wants to write us off. And I just, you know, I know personally I made a mistake, you know, looking at expecting too much and everything. But, I still believe in these guys. Certainly I believe in Coach Chizik and the rest of the staff from the guys they've been bringing in, continue to get commitments from. I just think that some guys are just looking too much at maybe some other programs and saying, why can't we be like these guys right now? And honestly, Vic, how many teams can say that?
That's right.
Mean, I know I've talked to a lot of my Tennessee friends, and they really were feeling good up until this past Saturday night. And then the way Florida that last quarter and a half just took them out of their game, and really one going away, all of a sudden, you know, it I'm sure it's turmoil back at Rocky Top. So it's like you said earlier, I mean, it's the world we live in now. You got to win or you got to look like you should have won every game. So yeah, Saturday night's huge.
Yep. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Keith, I think that's about it from this week. We're just, we've got a great opportunity in front of us, and just hope that we play as well as we possibly can.
Yep, that's. I guess that's about every week's plan, or it should be. It's great analysis, you guys. I like it, and I agree with you that we need to be more patient. Of course, you know, all of us have been Auburn fans long enough to remember the, you know, Barfield years, and we've always been the underdog, and you know, rarely do we have a national championship teams, but I think we've been pretty good for the last 15-20 years. It's been a lot of that, but there's a lot of fair weather fans and to me, and there's a lot of people that just don't really understand what they're talking about, bottom line, I guess. And
well, the haters are going to always be with you, Keith. And you got some, I see them on the board, and they're just angry, and it's just, it's everything. You would think their whole, and Philip Marshall, Vic, you had another excellent article, and bottom line was people that see themselves as winners or losers based on what their sports teams do really need to get a life. I mean, me and Vic have been around, and we'll match our credentials in terms of being Auburn graduates, following it, the whole thing, our whole lives. And, you know, there's just a different way to look at it. Yeah, you can be disappointed. I mean, it's your pastime. It's your hobby. It's, you know, I mean, Auburn football is something we both love. But at some point, just because it doesn't go your way, doesn't mean that all of a sudden you became Vince Lombardi on understanding what's the X's and O's and what's going on that these coaches go through. So, you know, I say people are going to have to, you know, take a step back and let's see, and let's don't undo the great recruiting and the positive things in a national championship. I don't care if it was Cam Newton carried the team on his back. We didn't have a national championship for 50 years or whatever it was, since 57. So I'm willing to give a guy that had, enough sense to put that team together and take us to Phoenix to the title, a little time to get these two new pro coordinators, you know, in the system. So anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well said, guys. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we have a rousing win against LSU. If not, we'll figure out what's wrong there. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Appreciate it. War Eagle.
Good. War Eagle.